Hello everyone, welcome back to what will be the final episode of the NBL News Podcast this season. We talked about last week that last week's could have been the last episode of the season, considering the dominance of Melbourne United's Game 1 performance, but it's completely flipped around. Tassie win back-to-back games, and we're going to a Game 4 with Tassie in front, back at home. Jackson and Aiden join me again. What's going on, guys?
Just wow.
Yeah. I was on commentary and I was speechless for a good 5 minutes after the shot went in, which we will talk about. But, oh my goodness. Just what a time to be a basketball fan in this country, hey?
You're right. And let's get straight into it. Let's just talk about it. And the first question I want to put up, and it's what a lot of people have been saying throughout the week now, is that the greatest shot in NBL history? Now, obviously, us young guys haven't watched the leagues. We haven't watched a league in the 90s and when people said it was their prime. But when the NBL showed all the major clips of game winners in the Grand Final series, there's no doubt this shot is clearly the greatest in NBL history. Just the circumstances, the shot itself is just unreal. The player, Jack McVay, he's been an absolute star for the Jack Jumpers this season. It couldn't have been placed in anyone better in their hands. And just the whole thing about it just made it such a great shot. And I think it just shows how good our league is now. That game, that fourth quarter, unreal in game three. And I'll go to you guys first. Greatest shot in NBL history, Jackson, your reaction?
It would be up there.
Would it be the greatest?
When you consider all the factors, I would say yes.
Yeah.
But like we've had shots in regular season games that have been far more difficult. I think of Cedric Jackson in Perth, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of the moment, in terms of what it meant, because it meant Tassie would have a 2-1 advantage going into a home game four. And if he didn't make it, if he airballed it, if it rimmed out, Melbourne United would have won that game and they would have gone into Tassie looking to take the series and take the championship. So with all those factors, yes, I believe it's the greatest shot in NBL history.
You talk about the Cedric Jackson one. That was a bit of a half-court heave, I remember, in overtime or something. But I feel like McVay's is just like a bit more difficult considering he's, you know, there. It's kind of a shambles of what's going on. Milton Doyle dies to save it in. And he just like, he pulls up, like a pull-up jump shot from near halfway is over two defenders is tough to do. Like that is such a tough shot. Damian Lillard-esque, if you will. But Aiden, how did you feel? What was your reaction?
Well, I sort of walked in here. I didn't see him pull up. So I was walking towards the baseline, you know, just getting ready for game finish. And then I look up and I see the ball in the middle of the air. And I'm like, 2 seconds left and ball's in the air. What's going on? And then I saw it going and I'm like, what just happened? What did I miss? Like, who shot the shot? I didn't even know Jack shot it until I saw the replay. And then, yeah. But it reminds me, I wasn't there, but it reminds me of the Josh Adams quarter three, you know, semifinals. Like, I don't know what the crowd was like then, but the United fans were silent after Jack McVay's shot.
Yeah. Oh, they were. They were stunned. They were absolutely stunned. They just had no idea what happened in the arena. And the thing was, this is what I said before the game as well. It was about 20% in there, maybe more, Jack Jumper supporters. And I said before the game, this is the greatest thing. Larry Kesman has done hundreds of good things in the last 10 years for the NBL. But I think now the best thing he has ever done was put a team back in Tassie, because we have never, there's no team close to the away support that this team has. Even at home, their support, like the supporter base, I don't think any NBL team comes closer. Maybe you can say the Perth Wildcats with their long history, but you know, their fans aren't traveling on the road every game, and I understand with flight and everything, but how far away to every Australian city they are, but still, like, it's unmatched.
Well, there's a whole row of them opposite
It's unmatched to what the Jack Jumpers
It was a whole bay,
been.
And yeah. I have stats. There was 1,100 of them that flew from Tassie. 1,100, yeah. That's a tenth of John Cain Arena.
10%.
Like,
yeah.
Legit. And you could see in that corner, there were like three, four bays of just Tassie fans going absolutely berserk. The thing is, when the shot went in, the place didn't go quiet.
No, yeah. Like, not quite.
It didn't go quiet. It was still loud. Like, yeah. You could obviously hear the air being taken out of the arena, but it was not quiet whatsoever. Yeah. Like, it was just ridiculous.
The yeah. March chat started, you know, started a bit early. But I was there for the last quarter for most of that side of the Tassie fans. And I was like, geez, this team, this crowd's going to get them over the line.
And know, it's like, not only the shot, that fourth quarter was unreal. That was
Najuk Deng.
Najuk Deng. I'll ask the question later in the five about him, but I still can't believe a guy like him was one of the last local signings during the offseason. And you look at some of the other teams and some of the signings they make, it's like there's guys out there that win you championship games, and Tassie know who those players are. It's the Najuk Dengs that get you over the line, and unreal signing from them. He may have been, you know, kind of here and there throughout the season. I think he had a few injuries, but he played when it mattered. Like, he played his best when it mattered. And 15 points in that fourth quarter in grand final game 3, it's going to be an unforgettable moment for him, and it's going to be talked about, it, you know, probably the best moment of his career for a long time now. And he's been great throughout his career. Najuk Deng, when he started in Adelaide, he was a big rotational player in the year they made a grand final against Melbourne United, when Melbourne won their first ring. And even when he was in Cairns, he was a starter on their finals campaign. So he's always been a great player, and that fourth quarter showed how good he was. And because of how good he was, Melbourne were forced to play a bit of small ball, which I thought was the wrong decision there, having only Travis as your big, because they still had McVay, they still had Majok Deng, and they were forced to play, I think it was Deli.
Bowen.
No. They had to play Deli or McVay in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Which I don't think was a smart idea at all.
They should have kept Travis on him.
I understand that they forced JLA and I guess Huck Porty out because Majok Deng was just killing him. He was just dominating JLA in that fourth quarter. So I understand they had to pull him out, but still, they had to force Deli on McVay, who's still what, like six or so inches taller than him. So it led to a mismatch. And Travis, he was probably the best defender on the night for United. I think he finished with 4 blocks. That was maybe a positive from them, their rim protection. But other than that, like, they were just too good.
Well, the thing was, when Travis got hit in the eye by the ball, when McVay accidentally kicked it, they brought in another guard. They had like 4 guards. I think it was Clark, Illy, Deli, and Golding on one. And I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah, well, I said also the game was over when at the start of the third quarter. I thought, that's it. When Milton Doyle picked up his fourth foul early in the third quarter, I thought, that's it. Marcus Lee went down a couple minutes ago in the third quarter. We now know he's out for the rest of the series. He's on crutches with a knee injury. But when he went down too, I thought, it's going to be a tough fourth quarter. I think they were down, what was it, 69 or 62 at three-quarter
time? It was 7-8 points.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I thought, Doyle on 4, Lee out, it's got to be tough for them to win this. And it's Tassie, man. It's just Tassie. No matter who they got in that team, they just proved everyone wrong time and time again.
I mean, McDonald and Crawford both stepped up when Doyle was off.
Yeah, and but the thing is, that's also bad on Melbourne United, because Doyle was on 4, I think, like the 9th minute of the third, like straight away. And they were not aggressive towards him. There was a time in that fourth quarter, I remember, I think it was Illy. He had a one-on-one kind of fast break to the rim with Doyle. Could have just driven at him. Probably would have been a foul the way they've been calling it this series 9 out of 10 times. But he backed out and set up again. Like, that's a time where you got to be aggressive and foul out their arguably their best player in Doyle. And they just weren't aggressive enough towards him in that fourth quarter. And I think that may have played a part in why they lost in such circumstances. But you guys got any thoughts? Yeah, go on, Jackson.
Yeah. So there were two stretches of, I want to say, 30 seconds that really made the game for Tassie. One of them was in the second quarter when Melbourne United was starting to get a bit of a lead going and Milton Doyle hit two threes back to back and cut it back down to like a 2-point game, I want to say. And then Melbourne United would go on a bit more of a run. Doyle would pick up his fourth foul. Will Magne would get the worst flop call you'll ever see in your life when it was a clear charge. And like, but after all that, and after the smoke clears, Tasmania run Krizlovic and Majuk Deng together. And Majuk Deng comes out and hits back-to-back threes. Really difficult moving threes, by the way, for a guy his size.
Yeah.
And then that just set him on a path straight to, you know, straight to where they got in the end. Majuk Deng, those 6 points would turn into 15 quite quickly. And like, he scored all of his 15 in the final quarter. I'm not sure how many minutes he played in the quarters before the fourth, but that final quarter might go down as one of the most impactful fourth quarter stretches you'll ever see in this league.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think this Marcus Lee injury, I don't know, I'll go to you, Ed. Does this affect Tassie at all? It kind of gives me a similar vibe to when Josh Childress got injured for Adelaide in that first, in 20, when was it, 2017, 2018 yep, grand final series. And I think if Childress was healthy, they would have won that series easily against Melbourne. But with Tassie, that doesn't matter who, as I said, doesn't matter who's playing for them. They got to find a way to win. But how does the Marcus Lee injury affect them for the rest of the series?
It just means more Deng minutes, I reckon. I don't think it's going to be... Like, Lee was providing a rim protection presence, but I think they've still got enough numbers that can cover. They've got... I know we don't see him as much, but Jared Besser could probably step up if he needs to. Chris Lynch, he hit a three, which I thought, you know, this is probably the dumbest shot I've ever seen anyone take. But he got in squish, and, you know... So they've got the tools. It's not like they don't... Like, if one of the guards went down, I'd be worried about what they're going to do with the guards' depth. But I think they've got enough depth in the big department that Lee... And Miss Lee in the... Was it the first game? Was it a suspension or...
Game two against Perth.
Perth, yeah. So they've played without him before, and I think...
And they won without him, so...
Yeah. I think Majuk Deng is going to be ready to go. Like, I don't think... As long as Maynard doesn't pick up two early fouls, I think that will be fine.
Wasn't he... He was injured in... So he
game
injured
one,
in...
I want to say.
He was game injured one, in two. The play-in, wasn't it? Against Illawarra?
Yeah.
And they won that game, so... They've shown they can win without him, so I don't think it's big of a worry that he's out for the remainder of the series, but still, you never know. You never know.
They've still got more scoring depth now with Barker coming in, but like...
I doubt they'll play him, but...
No, but like, you know what I mean? Like, they need to play him. They've got scorers. They've got people around.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's funny we talk about... Normally, don't talk about Game 3 before Game 2, but that's just the circumstances of what it was. Game 2 itself... I think everyone was predicting a bit of a Tassie win there at home, but Melbourne up 16 points. They have to say it, but they choked. They choked the lead. Very low scoring, defensive sort of game. It's one of those slug it out contests. I think the final score was 80-75 Tassie way, and Melbourne kind of threw it. People have got to complain about that Dele call at the end about how that shouldn't be unsportsmanlike. He was going for the ball, yada, yada. But I don't think that everyone was saying, oh, that call impacted the result of the game. I do not believe that at all. I don't think, I guess some, you can say some ref calls throughout a game can impact a game. But I don't,
one singular call does not make a difference.
I don't think that call made Melbourne lose that game. I don't think so. It's, I don't like the talk of like, I've never been a fan of people that have complained this to say to use like a free throw count or whatever foul count and use the refs as a reason as to why they lost. It's a pathetic excuse, really, in the NBL. And it's kind of hypocritical that Melbourne fans kind of used it as well, saying, I'm going on a tirade here, but it's
no,
kind of
keep going. It's okay.
It's kind of hypocritical where they say, oh, you know, the rest lost us again. It's not true. I hate how people blame the rest on the game. Melbourne United choked that game fair and square. You're up by 16 in the third, and they just couldn't buy a basket in the fourth. There wasn't very smart offensive plays at all in that fourth, and
They shot themselves in the foot. I'm looking at the stats. Delhi had 100%.
That's a great way to put it. They did shoot themselves in the foot in that fourth quarter. It was theirs to lose. And they just, 1 from 7. Yeah, that fourth quarter was just not ideal offensive-wise. And Tassie just jumped on it and said, if you're not scoring, we will. And
he jumped on it.
But Jackson, you got any thoughts on that game too?
Yeah, I do. There's been a hot, like, as you said, there's been a whole lot of comments about the refs and, like, the fact that people are calling it, you know, rigged or whatever. And my favorite tweet was Sam Vecini saying the NBL refs are too incompetent. I think it was what he said. The NBL refs are too incompetent to rig a game.
I think that's what Olgan said too on the pod.
Oh, Olgan said, yeah.
I think they both said it.
Yeah, they both said something along those lines. And, yeah, like, we can talk a whole lot about the refereeing standard, but, like, come on, it's not rigged. It, like, I've seen worse games of basketball. Like, I watched March Madness this past week. You know where I'm going with this, Evan.
Yeah.
Samford were playing Kansas. Samford, who were, I want to say, like, the 14 seed, Kansas the 3 seed. And Samford with Aussie Victorian Akorakor, they were coming back, and it was a 1-point game, and it is the clearest block of your that you'll ever see, and they call a foul due to the reaction of the player, you know, falling after, you know, not dunking the ball, and Kansas would go up by 3, game's over. You know, Samford couldn't get a shot to fall. But if it was a 1-point game, not a 3-point game, it'd be completely different. And that's something that is a whole lot worse than what we saw in Melbourne and Tassie in game 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is what it is. But the question now is, you guys got anything else on game 2, game 3?
I reckon Ian Clark needs to step up. He both had only 8 points, both in both game 2 and game 3. Didn't shoot the ball, as you know. I just think United's depth isn't as strong as the people, you know, make it up to be. They're not, like, you know. Ian Clark is probably the only player off the bench that could contribute if he needed to.
Not Huck Porter or Bowen?
Huck Porter, maybe. Bowen defensively, yeah, but I just think they need more scoring. Like, Flynn Cameron, I feel like, needs a few more minutes, just 3 or 4, just to give them something different. When nothing's falling well, I think Flynn Cameron would be perfect. And he's been ready all season.
Well, you've spoiled another one of my questions for later on, but we'll leave it at that. No. But game 2, game 3 done. Jack Jumper's now up 2-1. I still don't understand how people aren't tuning into this series, how this is not getting as much attention as it should be. Like, that shot in game 3 and everything. Like, it's still, I understand it's AFL NRL season, but it's still hidden. This series is still hidden behind the major tabloid sporting news.
Probably and hidden because it of sucks. The Devils announcement. That's
yeah,
why.
It sucks because this league is still so underrated, and this grand final series has just showed how good this league is in compared to the global stage, and it's so good to watch, man. So fun to watch, especially I just remember kind of smiling to myself in that game 3 because it's just the atmosphere, the Tassie fans, they're chanting, Melbourne fans chanting, the competitiveness of that fourth quarter, it was just unreal to be a part of. And as well as, like, a neutral as well in that game, it's just, like, I love being a part of it. It's just so awesome. It's so awesome. Well, yeah. So
you could hear Tassie chants over Melbourne United chants half the time.
It was incredible.
I was like, what the hell? This is not normal. Yeah. Normally you hear the United fans, this is a tune out.
Yeah, it is. Enough words. Like, there's not enough words to explain how good this grand final series is and how good this league has been this season. But final predictions, going to game 4 in Tassie. Now, obviously, our predictions have changed here. Me and Jack Smith said United in game 5 would be each team winning at home. But that won't be the case. Maybe United still in 5. That's still on the cards. But Aiden, I'll go to you first. Who you got winning, my friend?
Well, I'm not going to be able to watch the game on the first day, but I think Tassie win at home. they finally lifted in front of their home crowds, and they're going to bring it over. If anyone's got tickets for me, Evan and Jackson, yeah, we would take them.
I don't think so. I think we'd be having to sit on the backboard or something. I don't think.
No, we don't want to be there. Chris Lynch might break the ring again. Oh.
No, I doubt there's an empty seat in that venue on Thursday night. It is going to. They may as well. Is there any bigger stadium? Played on their footy oval out there.
They didn't know. Played at Belrive.
Yeah, played it there. I don't know.
Or North Hobart.
Yeah. So who you got, Aiden? You got Tassie?
I said Tassie. They're going to lift it up in front of their home crowd. I reckon that would be like
something. Man, that would be an epic moment, wouldn't it? Tassie.
Yeah, because whenever they had the stage ready for
in front of their home crowd. Yeah. Biggest night on Thursday. Biggest Thursday night ever in Tassie. Jackson, who you got?
Tassie win by 5 in game 4.
Yep.
By 5.
I do see United coming out strong, but I feel like Tassie are just going to outrun them. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to 5, though. But I've got Tassie winning their home game and clinching the championship.
So two of you have changed?
Well, I think I went Tassie in 5, but I don't know.
I thought you went Melbourne, didn't you? You went Melbourne in 5.
I don't remember. It's pretty close.
Anyway. Two of us have changed our mind and make that 3. I'm going Tassie in 4. I just don't see how they lose that game in front of their home fans to win a championship. Theirs to lose now. It's theirs to lose now.
Not the underdog, basically.
It's funny we're saying that. But man, it would be a crazy moment. As much as I want to see a game 5, the more games, the better. I think it will be, and I'm sure Tassie fans, if it goes to game 5, there'll be some NBL fans, Tassie fans that say, oh, it's rigged. The NBL wants 5 games out of the series. But I think Tassie will win game 4. And, man, it's going to be an exciting game to watch because Melbourne, do or die. This is the actual time where their back's against the wall. They said it like earlier in the season, but this game is where their backs are truly against the wall. And with championship winners like Ian Clark and Dele, they and NBL champions like Gording and GLA and the likes, they're gonna come out like we've never seen them before, probably. So it is gonna be a highly competitive match and it will definitely be close, no doubt about it. I don't think any team's gonna smash one another. So
also another congratulations to Brad Dooley, who will end his career this weekend
in unfortunate circumstances.
Oh, sorry. Okay,
that's Tassie, you got to win. You're like a championship.
No, I know what you mean.
He's never won an NBL championship. He's won all over in Europe, but sorry, man.
Yeah. Ever since he went to Leicester City, you know, I haven't won a championship.
Player movements, bit of free agency rumors in the NBL, reported by Olgan, reported by News Corp. Some main ones that were posted on the socials. Obviously, Will McDowell White, every team basically wants him, same as last offseason. Be interesting to see if he actually stays in New Zealand once again. Bull Quoll looks likely to head to Sydney. Southeast Melbourne still in the race a bit, but looks like he'll probably sign a deal there in Sydney, which leads Jordan Hunter to probably make a move, and it looks like Southeast Melbourne will be that team. Karan Galloway, big name free agent after a really good season he had with Adelaide. Adelaide, obviously, the team showing interest, the team he was with last season, Brisbane as well. But it looks like he will be heading up north to Cairns. That is the likely destination for him. Mitch McCarron probably won't return to Adelaide, getting a few clubs interested in him still, the Hawks, the Breakers, the Wildcats. Interesting to see where he ends up and what his role would be now in the NBL. Jonah Bolden will likely go back overseas. He wants a lot of money. Dinga Dell was a surprising one for me. Seems like he's going to Brisbane. That deal is almost done. I see both of you guys have your hands on your heads. Bit of face palm from both of you. We know his last stint was no good, but you could just
go. Do you remember how many weeks we spoke about talking about Dinga Dell, Evan? That's how much.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of this signing, considering they want to play him at the 4. And
they want to sign him over Karan Galloway. What the?
And the thing is, they're bringing back Prather. So they're going to have Chris Smith, Sam McDaniel, Casey Prafer, Dingadel, four small forwards, and one power forward in Josh Bannon. So, yeah.
And two centres that can't slide
is
down.
Is DJ Mitchell contracted?
No.
That's why the Cone Galloway would have made sense. Oh, anyway.
I know. I don't. It sets them back again, doesn't it? And this, and Shannon Scott and Chris Smith are contracted. So, three very average imports.
Scott, I don't think comes back. Smith will come back, but I don't think Scott does.
Could be wrong. Never know. I mean, but Dingadel is most recently played in the second division of France. Played in, I think it was Finland or Denmark.
Finland, I think it was.
And
Canada. Played in Canada.
The Canadian Basketball League. So,
with J.
Since his stint with Illawarra, I don't know about this signing. He is a former NBA player.
He started well for Illawarra. Like he played.
I still think he's capable of playing in the NBL, but
no, I do too.
He's not a four from Brisbane, and with all the other guys that got interesting signing, but it's the way they want to go. Alex Dukas, obviously been on the radar for a couple of NBL teams the last few seasons. Not the best of seasons to finish off with him in college.
Can I rant about his?
Quick 20-second rant.
I hate Aidan Mahaney. He didn't pass Dukas the ball once. His team on offense just did not pass him the ball. I watched that round one game against Grand Canyon. He was standing in the corner. It's like, hey guys, I'm wide open. Right, please right, pass right, me the ball. Right. And Aidan Mahaney took 20 shots and hit like only four of them. Like right, it is just so is bad. I'm
this
done.
This is what Perth people do. They defend their other Perthernians.
He's not from Perth. He's from Geraldton.
Oh, WA, whatever. Sorry, I've got.
Can we go for each team of players?
But he's got interest from Cairns. Obviously with the Adam Ford connection there with WA players. So Cairns seems like the likely destination. And Brock Bonham has a bit of interest in the NBL. DJ Hogue might go back to Cairns. It's all happening. But the thing we'll do here with the last episode of the season, we know free agency will start. We may have an episode here and there, but I want two signings from you guys that you want to see happen. One local signing you want to see, not specifically has to be someone back in the league, but just someone moving somewhere else, a team that you think should sign this guy, and an import as well, an import you want to see in the league or at a specific team. I'll go first. Just so you guys got a fair idea of where I'm going here. But one local signing I want to see is... now, Mitch McCarron is linked to Illawarra, New Zealand, and Perth, right? I don't think any of those three destinations work for him. I would love him back in Cairns. I think the ideal situation for him is to go to Cairns. I think playing under a guy like Taron Armstrong would be such an ideal fit. Both similar pass-first playmakers. If Taron Armstrong, I think it benefits Cairns as well. If they want the best out of Taron Armstrong and want him to be that NBA-level player that he has potential to be, there's no better Australian point guard to learn off of than Mitch McCarron. And I think with him as a backup, I think his role in the NBL now, Mitch McCarron, is a backup point guard. I think him and Cairns is just such an ideal fit. I'd be astonished if Cairns don't show interest in him. His price may be a bit out of their range, but considering they lost Buquel, Sam Meninga, they'll lose their imports. I would guess they still have a bit of money to offer McCarron, no matter what. And he just makes sense on so many levels. Also, like, they didn't have a veteran leader. This is what they've been missing. Since Nate Yahweh has left the team, they've failed to fill that void of who that captain is. They had McCall the last couple of seasons, but that did not end well last season. That was not an ideal situation for them when the captain and coach is having a bit of a feud. So they need that Aussie veteran leader, and there's no better player out there than Mitch McCarron. He's just so ideal for Cairns in so many ways. And I think if Mitch McCarron wanted to rejuvenate a bit of his career, have a year in Cairns, go back to a place where he started booming his career, ideal. Yeah, I think it's just ideal in so many assets. I just love the move, but I just know it won't happen because Cairns are a bit silly in what they've been doing recently. But I just would be astonished if Cairns don't reach out to him at all, because he just fits on so many levels. But that's what I got as a local signing. I don't know what you guys got. You guys got anything?
That's you go first.
I want Southeast Melbourne to sign a local starting level centre. Whether yep. that's a guy like Jordan Hunter,
yep.
who they have interest in, or whether it's a marquee level guy like a Thon Maker, like it's a dream, but...
A Jordan Hunter.
A
Jonah Bolden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those guys, right? Yeah. Like, I just feel like... I feel like Hunter, though, or Maker, they've lacked rim protection the entire existence. They've lacked rim protection.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those guys could really give it to him in a meaningful way. And so that's my local.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. They need it. And it looks like Hunter will probably head there. But they need that second local starter. I would have thought Bukwal would have been better for them than a center, but they'll look like they'll get Hunter instead, which isn't a bad interchange. But Aiden, what's a local signing you want to see happen?
I'm going to copy one of your ideas that you showed me last week. Isaac White to Sydney. I think they need some shooting off the bench. I just think, you know, if Glover leaves, like, I mean, he's contracted, but maybe, you know, mutually parts ways with a good contract.
Yeah.
They need someone to score off the bench. Like, Galloway's not coming back, obviously. Right now, they've got no one contracted off the bench. And Isaac White is that guy, you know, he can play the one, the two. He can shoot the heck out of it. He just needs opportunity.
Yeah. You got that connection with Gorgian as well when he started the Illawarra.
Gorgian got him over.
But I think what Olgan said on the marketplace is that that option's likely to be taken up with Brisbane. And don't know with Glover. I think he may be staying, looks like, at the moment. But I don't mind Isaac White to Sydney. A little bit of a role player. He's underrated. He's severely underrated. And I think he'll be, with where Brisbane are heading, he'll fall out of that rotation a bit with who they're signing. So I'd love him to get more minutes. He deserves more minutes in the NBL for sure.
And still young.
Import is a hard one. The obvious one for me is for the Phoenix to sign a superstar point guard. You know, obviously you think of the Isaiah Thomas, the John Walls of the league. I obviously want to see like a veteran NBA player come down. It'd be awesome to see them play. But realistically speaking, they need a MVP import point guard. They need their
Shaq Harrison come down to Phoenix.
They need their Bryce Cotton. They need their Tyler Harvey type of import. They need that type of guy that's got to be their star import that's MVP capable. They're Jalen Adams even. They need that sort of guy. Because the last three, they've had John Robeson. He was all right, offensive player, but not MVP level.
He was good
level.
For the first season, yeah.
Kiefer Sykes was pretty good. I mean, he did go to the NBA after he went to the Phoenix, so he's been their best. But then Gary Brown, last two seasons, is nowhere near All-NBL second-team range, in my opinion. So they need a guy that is All-NBL first-team, MVP status. That could be a John Wall. That could be Isaiah Thomas. But
someone that can create for others.
Someone more realistic,
as well.
Just to... A true kind of just a superstar. And I need to find someone maybe in the G League. I don't know. But
there's a few names that come to mind for the G League.
Aiden, you got an import you want to see?
I want to see Jarek Pardon at United. I reckon if Joe Lawchill leaves, which I don't know if he will, but if Pardon comes back to NBL and they need someone that can pick and roll, can rim
protect, or just in the NBL in general. I'd love Pardon.
In general, he can stay out of foul trouble. He's one of the, apart from that overtime game, he didn't foul out all year.
Yeah.
And I think he's just someone that teams can use wisely. Like, if Phoenix are getting Hunter, go big and get money for Pardon.
Yep. Jackson?
I want one of the millions of imports that we've lost to Japan to come back. I don't know which one, but we've seen a whole lot of high-level imports that have played in this league. They've gone to Japan. Like, a guy like John Mooney is unrealistic. He's probably staying there for a long time. He's getting paid a whole lot of money. He's playing for the best team in Japan. That's not happening. Maybe a guy like a Vic Law.
Yeah.
I'd like to see come back, whether that's back at Perth or back at Brisbane or wherever.
Yep.
I feel like
Jarrell Brantley, number one player in Japan. You said Derek
Clark.
Where's Jarrell
Martin at the moment?
He was in Japan. Jarrell Martin's another good name to throw up. I think he's in Europe. He's in Europe still.
Is it Ishii or the Impact?
Rajon Tucker would be another one. He's not in Japan, but I'd feel like he'd be really good back in this league somewhere.
100%. Yeah.
Even Justin Simons. Justin Simons.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Unreal defense. I mean, he's won Defense Player of the Year in this league. Yeah. NBL champion as well. So
yep.
I'd love
if
to see.
If Luke Hall wasn't probably hitting to Kitsune, I'd say Justin Simons would be that guy.
Yeah, 100%. You guys got anything else before we go into the Rapid Five? Any other free agency? You got any rumors you guys know personally?
Any rumors? Any shot bombs? No.
Any Jackson bombs? Any Aiden bombs? Any?
No, any bombs on
did
on
we break
on
anything here?
Platform, but maybe off platform.
Nah, I'm good.
You're good. Nah, you know nothing.
I'm good.
You know nothing. All right.
Comment.
Rapid Five. Here we go. Has Majok Deng been the most underrated player in the NBL the past 5 seasons?
Yeah, but one also because he's been injured a few times, but yeah.
No.
Will a team pick up Mojave King this offseason?
No.
Nah, he'll stay over there.
Will we see all 10 teams with a next star next season, considering the Ignite is gone?
I'm going to go bold and say yes.
Yeah.
Should Flynn Cameron get any minutes in game 4?
Well, you know how I... yes.
Yeah.
And a bit of a different one here. Does Lauren Jackson play in the Olympics? Just named to the squad this morning?
If Basketball Australia caves in, yes.
Yes.
There we go. There we go. Final Rapid Five of the season. Final episode. You guys got anything to mention?
Happy Easter to everyone. I don't know.
I'm going to Adelaide in a week's time. Going to enjoy my time there. Oh, yes. Also, if it goes to 5, if it goes to a 5-game series, I'll be on Clutch Radio for game 5.
There you go. Definitely tune in. You did well in game 3. You did well.
Thank you.
The next Jack Heverin. I say it every week. No, but thank you guys so much for tuning in throughout the season. If you've listened to every episode, you are unreal. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Just trying to find that gap in the market of there's not many NBL kind of independent podcasts out there or pages that produce NBL content about this fantastic league here in our country. So just trying to do our best of sharing our opinions and our thoughts throughout this league. And thank you so much for listening. We may do some episodes in the off season. If it's a crazy game 5 like we just saw in game 3, we may do an episode after the championship series to review that. But there'll be episodes here and there. Either way, hopefully we are back next season bigger and better than ever. And thank you guys again so much for listening this season. And we'll see you next time.